Away in 60 seconds on The Score.
Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint, which means the paint you trust and a huge selection of colors are right in your neighborhood. And this Saturday only, you can pick up a free sample of Benjamin Moore at your local Ace. It's a great way to explore quality colors and find the perfect one for your place. So if you're looking for award-winning service and a new look for your home, look no further than Benjamin Moore Paint at Ace. Offer valid August 1st for Ace Rewards members. Limit one at participating stores while supplies last.
This segment is brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
3-0. Ooh. High and inside. Ball four. Bregman nearly got nailed.
That looked like a changeup that Joe Kelly was working on at home that missed the big net he was throwing into, but did not miss the window to his house. Just a little bit off his right side.
Here it comes. That's just what he did, and he got a swing and a miss from Correa to get out of the inning. Oh, Joe Kelly strutting his way off after an interesting inning. All right, so the benches have cleared, and we'll do our best to maintain social distancing while still sending a message both sides.
I would definitely think that the word cheater has been used at least a dozen times.
You dock a guy 8 games. He didn't even hit anybody. Those highlights, courtesy KLAC 570 and SNLA. Still that bad blood manifesting, and that's a lengthy suspension, especially relative to a 60-game season for Joe Kelly. Here to talk about that and more as baseball has returned is our friend Cody Decker, who is on Twitter at Decker6. He of the radio.com Swings and Misses podcast is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you hanging in, Cody?
Oh, you know me, man. I'm living the dream.
Well, we had a bench-clearing brawl with nobody really brawling. It was a clearing of the benches and a positioning of themselves. I'm thinking like West Side Story, Jets and Sharks, that they're just going to have some interpretive dance go on. But they didn't seem to know what to do or how to do it. They just knew they were mad at each other.
Yes, it was very, that's actually a very astute description of it. It was very West Side Story. Both sides doing a dance-off, and then everyone had to disperse. It was, the punishments that are involved right now with brawling, it's just not even worth it. But the bench is clearing, the message was sent, the end. But the Joe Kelly suspension, quite frankly, is a joke.
Well, it's ridiculous because he didn't really hurt anybody, and all of these guys got off without any punishment for actually cheating.
Oh, yeah. I equated it yesterday on my show to the ending of The Shield. It was like where someone's the main character's asking for immunity, no one really knows what for, and then he starts to admit everything after he gets the immunity, and everyone and the look on their faces are of what? All of this happened? It's like that's what happened with the Astros. They were granted immunity, and they said everything that they did, and Major League Baseball stuck in a position where, wow, we're not going to punish these guys for cheating for 3 years. And, you know, Joe Kelly took it upon himself. Now, keep in mind, after my strong opinions over this, some people were like, oh, so it's okay to headhunt? That's not what headhunting is. Headhunting is legitimately throwing at people's heads. You threw the ball behind Alex Bregman. All right, it wasn't all that close to him. It was a purpose pitch, 3-0, and then he ended up getting out of the inning. 8 games in this season is the equivalent of over 21-game suspension. That is absurd.
As this is all going on, we get the news today, 2 more Miami Marlins have tested positive. So we are now at a total of 17. At what point, and baseball hasn't said at what point, nothing in their voluminous plans actually has any of these triggers. At what point can we not tolerate any more positives and not tolerate 19 or 20-year-old A-ballers representing big leaguers and just say that they are removed from circulation for the remainder of the season?
That's a very good question. They have a player pool, and the player pool does not have a ton of A-ball guys. There's plenty of big league ready guys. Like I have a friend on the team right now, Ryan LaBarnway. He's played plenty in the big leagues. He's just sitting there waiting to go, along with a lot of other guys. That was the whole purpose of this 60-man player pool, and we're not dipping into the player pool at the moment because they want. Well, one, they are trying to be responsible and making sure that the player pool wasn't affected, which it appears it was not. But this is a mess to the point where Major League Baseball really needs to start asking themselves some hard questions, because if this happened to the Dodgers or the Yankees, would baseball still be happening right now? Because my answer is no. If this was a major market team with stars on it, Major League Baseball would be on pause for at least a week or two.
I saw you tweet something to this effect, and I probably was tongue-in-cheek, but do you think your phone might ring, being a recently retired professional player, that it's possible that some former players could be mustered back into service?
I don't think my phone will ring, but if my phone did ring, I definitely would answer it and have a conversation. I don't think it's really feasible. I would have to assume, and I strongly hope that teams have better options than me. But I'm definitely available as long as I keep doing my show. I'd be down to do it. I'd love to get some more at-bats in. I had an at-bat last weekend at my baseball facility in El Paso, Texas, and what can I say? I can still rake.
I love hearing the dugouts. I love hearing, we had Ian Happ on earlier today. I was just talking about the energy in their dugout and how he says when he's in the box and he takes a nasty pitch and spits on it and everybody in the dugout sees it. It's like, yeah. It sounds like, you know, 9U travel ball. And it's awesome because we don't usually get to hear this stuff. And we imagine that guys are sitting on their phones or checking their investments or whatever they're doing, but they're just so into the game. At least the Cubs have been. And I've really enjoyed that.
The Cubs have been fun to watch thus far, haven't they? Especially Rizzo's hot start. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Chicago. But no, it's great. I wish they would mic up everybody. I think they're terrified that every game would be rated TVMA, which I get because it would be. But you know what? Do that too. I want to see it. That Astros-Dodger game the other night, that was every reason why I'm happy baseball's back. The intensity was there. No fans in the crowd, and the intensity was there at all times. That 13-inning game they played last night was intense, which is actually the reason I actually like the extra-inning rule. I know I'm a very, very, very much in the minority about that. But, yeah, no, it's great. It's a chance to pull the curtain back a little bit and see, you know, kind of the human side of baseball, which I think baseball's done a really poor job of showing for the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and even when I was around it doing games in the minor leagues, I was always in the press box. So the stuff I would hear, you know, occasionally in an empty building you'll hear something. But, you know, obviously being in the clubhouse and in the dugout before games is very different than when after that first pitch is thrown and these guys start competing with each other. And like before the brawl, I mean, to hear that, I'm positive it was Dusty Baker who said, "Get back on the mound, MF-er." And like, damn. And then he strikes him out, "Nice swing, bitch." I mean, some of this stuff is just like you couldn't script it any better.
It's amazing. I'll give an example. This is something I used to always do to drive catchers nuts on the other team. I would always be at the top step, usually right around the steps, very close to the catcher. And whenever I'd see him clank a ball, you know, just not catch a ball cleanly. You can just hear silently, like just under the wind a little bit. Ah, baby, way to slow it down. And I would do it every single time he did it. So once he did it one time, he's annoyed. Once he did it three times, he's furious. And then when it gets to five times, it's absolutely hilarious.
So how mad do guys, do eventually they start laughing at it, or do they just get angry and say something to you?
More that our dugout laughs at it, and he's just getting angrier and angrier and angrier, and I step in the box and I'm like, hey, man, how you doing back here? And he just stares at me. I'm like, all right, good.
Who are some of the best
things like that? Guys are at each other's throats, but like in a friendly way for the most part. You know, you see the benches clearing every once in a while, but it's usually pretty. It's a pretty friendly battle every day. But it's fun to watch these little things when you peel back the curtain. And I wish that they would be willing to do it more. I don't care. Put it on HBO Max if you're afraid you're going to get some F-bombs. You're going to get some F-bombs. Let's hear them.
What's some of the best stuff that you've heard? Have you ever said, oh, I'm stealing that? Or you heard a really good heckle, a really good taunt, whether it was one of your teammates or an opponent?
Oh, man, that comes to mind immediately. Not really, just like little jabs that are always hilarious. I think the funniest thing I've ever heard was actually from a fan. And it was for a teammate. We were for whatever reason, this teammate of mine, he was balding pretty significantly, and he was refusing to let go of his hair. And we get on, and the crowd was just all over him. The game hadn't even started yet. It was just game two of the series, and they were all over him the day before. And we're going to get outside to, you know, take our hats off of the national anthem, and all of a sudden they're still ripping him. He rips his hat, takes his hat off, and immediately you hear the same fan go, oh, my God, that's terrible. It looks like you got a piece of bologna on your head. And our entire dugout lost it laughing. Like, our dugout, like, to our teammate. Funniest thing I'd ever heard in my life. And to the point where he shaved his head that night and he never looked back.
He turns around, thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, way to have my back. Good teammates.
What's wrong with Christian Yelich?
I don't think anything's wrong with him. I think he's just on through a slow start. You've seen a couple of very slow starts this year from major star players. So I wouldn't read too far into it. Christian Yelich is one of the top five best players in baseball. I think this is a season that is kind of unprecedented, and I think any slow start by any team, it's not just him. It's teams off to a slow start. Look at the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are, in my eyes, a surefire playoff team, and they are off to, what, a 1-5 start? That's not good. That's not what they need. Reds are a team that's supposed to compete. They're 2-4 right now. So I think it's just a unique season, and I think everyone's under the microscope because of how short this season is, which quite frankly takes me back to the Joe Kelly thing. This suspension is absurd because it is an equivalent of 21 games. You can't take away a pitcher from a team that's supposed to win the World Series for 21 games for not even hitting a guy. Wasn't even ejected from the game.
Have you had a chance to watch Luis Robert in action?
Not enough, no.
Because until you see him, when you see someone that size, you don't expect to see them move like that. He beat out a double play grounder that looked like routine, and he busted his ass. And apparently the actual StatCast metrics said it was close to like Billy Hamilton movement for a guy who's 6'3 and 185 pounds. And this is why when I, you know, you laugh, we've made jokes about all the comps. And so many smart baseball people actually added up the wins above replacement of all of the total comps and averaged them out. And it's just amazing. They talk about, like, you know, Ronald Acuna Jr. with speed. Somebody else said Willie Mays. Someone said a combination of Andrew Jones and Bo Jackson. But when I saw that, my thought was I haven't seen a baseball player move quite like that since Bo Jackson. That's really how astonishing it is.
That's about the highest compliment you could possibly give. Because Bo Jackson, who I always thought was just not a polished baseball player, but was just so athletic and so talented at whatever he did, it didn't matter.
He wasn't even that good a baseball player, actually, I learned. You know, in his entire career, Bo Jackson only amassed 7.7 wins above replacement?
Sounds about right, but, you know, if he touched the ball, it was gone. If he hit a slow roller, he was safe. If you hit a ball anywhere near him, he caught it. He was staggering. And it just makes you think, if he didn't play football, would we be talking about a Hall of Fame player right now? Because I think we would be.
And also, I think we looked at baseball differently. I think we measured things differently, and the spectacular moments meant more than the aggregate in a way we understand statistically now. I think we just sort of we weighted those things more. What would you do if you were talking about back to these slow starters, back to somebody like Chris Bryant, who is very honest about his, you know, he'll have a crisis of faith in himself sometimes. He has these confidence issues where he says, I go to look at my baseball reference page and I see that I have a career 900 OPS. And I think, oh yeah, I'm good at this. I can do this. Now that it's all so compressed, and now that we have players who are going to have to deal with this, what's the best advice for understanding the urgency of the season and not making yourself a complete basket case?
I think that depends on the player. It depends on the coaching staff that you have. You know, that's why I think Dave Ross is such a great choice for manager, because he's a guy that's once been in that clubhouse, and his job is not necessarily to manage the game. The game manages itself. You can really handle managing the game is not as difficult as you think. What's difficult is managing your players. David Ross was one of them. He was on that team as recently as, what, 2 years ago, was it, or 3 years ago? He knows these guys. Chris Bryant is... The only thing that makes Chris Bryant different than anyone else is that he's willing to admit these things, because that is true. There's not a single player that you've ever seen on the field that doesn't have crisis of faith in themselves once a week. It's very easy. You can go 4-for-4, but the next day you're 0-for-5. One of my best games I ever had, I had a 4-for-4 game, 2 home runs. I was in AAA in Omaha for the Royals, 2 doubles and 2 walks. Had an unbelievable game. The next day I went 0-for-5 with 5 Ks. This game will get you fast and immediately make you think that you're not what you are, because that's just the game. That's also the way the game is brought up, because in the minor leagues, they make it very clear to you that you're always a day or two away from being replaced by a new guy. That's just kind of the culture of baseball. So I used to always watch videos of my past home runs, be like, okay, what did I do right? And I'm looking at that, I'm like, okay, that's good. I'm like, wait, why am I even doing this? I'm very good at baseball. There's a reason I've been playing for 11 years. But it's very easy to get in your own skin, under your own skin, if something goes wrong. And with this season being so short, I think you got to look to your teammates, you got to look to your coaching staff, you know, to remind you why you're there.
Very quietly yesterday, there was an agreement that was finalized between MLB and the Players Association, agreeing that players who steal signs electronically can be suspended without pay or service time. It was Evan Drellich of The Athletic that broke the story. And says, now everyone faces potential suspensions. The rules continue to put the emphasis on manager and general manager. There's no present length of or preset length of punishment for players who violate the rules. Precedents will develop over time. But now, Cody, now it's codified. Now we do have it in writing that Rob Manfred can punish players for doing this. When we talked last year, before our world changed, and talked about all this, and you described what you thought was relatively widespread. It might not be all as sophisticated as the Astros or the Red Sox, but the teams in a lot of places had been rumored to be doing this. Do you think this stops it? Have you heard that there's been less of it in this resumed season?
So I haven't heard even rumblings of it taking place since the season resumed. I think everybody may have scrapped that part of their R&D department, because every team has an R&D department, and they sink a lot of money into said R&D department. I think it was also a combination of, it's like when you see a player, you know, with his right hand and index finger, middle finger, scratch at their left forearm. We know all you pitchers are putting rosin and sunscreen on your forearms. We know you're doctoring every single pitch. I know that. It's the ones that are just not subtle about it. That's the problem. I've yet to play against a guy that doesn't do it. But, and they can give every excuse they possibly can. Oh, it's for grip. Oh, it's for that. Okay, whatever. What you're doing is cheating. The Astros were so overt about it, it was almost insulting. I have not heard anybody doing anything this year so far, but also the season is young. But now the fact that there is hardline rules in place where people will lose their jobs or potentially their careers for doing it, I think is actually a good thing. I'm normally not a fan of anything Rob Manfred does or touches, but this is a good thing.
Because we're looking at the Astros, obviously, in focus, and we're not going to have enough of a statistical sample size over 60 games to determine. But I'm not saying, I'm just saying, whether it's Yelich or somebody else, if a drop-off is sustained, and or if we have home road splits that might start showing things this year into whatever next year looks like, we might have an indication of who was using what, if someone else is otherwise healthy and otherwise the same player.
Perhaps, but there's also the fact that guys are just sometimes slow starters. Look at a player who is MVP caliber player in Paul Goldschmidt last season. He was practically anemic for the first half of the season last year. The second half of the season, he put up MVP numbers and still finished the season having over 30 home runs. That's a tale of two cities right there. It's just sometimes it takes a while to get going. Sometimes guys get off to a hot start. I really think it is that random, and it's not as quantifiable as everybody wants to make it out to be. Everything in baseball needs to be quantifiable, and when something is not easily quantifiable, baseball people lose their minds.
Any conversation that can begin with West Side Story and end with A Tale of Two Cities was a worthwhile one to have. As always, Cody Decker, we appreciate you being generous with your time. Thank you.
No, you can, man. Anytime I can come on your show and drop some Dickensian-type quotes, I'm on fire.
It's a far, far better thing. I do appreciate it, man.
Down a nice time, buddy.
That is Cody Decker. He is on Twitter at Decker6. You should be listening to his radio.com podcast he does with his wife, Jennifer Decker. Swings and Misses is the name of that. White Sox stuff. We're going to go inside the Sox, who got a much needed sort of palate cleanser of a win yesterday. Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine podcast will talk about the White Sox next on The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Former Cub Ryan Dempster talks Cubs.
And I'm really excited for David Ross. He was built for being a manager. He managed us as teammates when we were playing. And, you know, he's a leader. He's a person who builds strong relationships. He gets the guys caring for each other. And when you care for each other, good things happen. And I'm really excited for them. They got a good group of guys and have a chance to do something really special again.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sport Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. A radio. com sports station.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. I've had this one in my back pocket for a while now. It's coming out today as we prep for afternoon NBA action tomorrow and playoff hockey at noon Eastern on Saturday. I know those bubbles have unique circumstances. Limited courts and ice mean games have to start earlier in the day to get them all in. Bubble-free, baseball isn't dealing with limited space, but that doesn't mean they don't need to be playing in the afternoon, too. This goes back to last Friday, the first full day of the season, when the first game didn't start until 4 Eastern. Today, there's one late afternoon start. The rest of the games are at night, where all the TV ratings are. But this shortened season needs to be about finding new fans. And that should include start times throughout the day, every day, so you might catch the eye of someone who would normally miss that 7 o'clock first pitch. I'm Andrew Bogish.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows. Subscribe and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
The buckets you buy at Ace hold paint, dirt, and debris. But our Children's Miracle Network buckets hold so much more, like dreams, hope, and care for children. Because over the last 29 years, with your help, Ace has raised over $125 million for local CMN hospitals. So stop by your local Ace this weekend to make a $5 donation and get a 5-gallon bucket plus 20% off almost anything that fits inside it. Offer valid on regular price merchandise. Additional exclusions apply. See store for details.
The best radio stations in America live on radio.com. Atlanta's V103, number one for hip-hop and R&B. The world-famous 106.7 KROQ, LA and Orange County's alternative. Chicago's finest rock, 93 XRT. Alice at 97.3 with the Bay Area's best music and lots more. Find them and listen to what you want when you want on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
I saved big money with the Progressive Home and Auto Bundle, so I finally bought that new set of golf clubs. Watch out, fairway. Here I come.
This is not a real testimonial. Sure, customers can save big with Progressive, but your other expenses won't just disappear. Are those clubs going to help you when the hot water heater dies? Also, it sounds like your money is better spent on golf lessons.
Time to go shoot the course record.
No, but maybe time for a reality check. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
If you are looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local mortgage professionals. Today, meet Gina, global hotel chain executive whose kitchen was outdated when she moved into her home 20 years ago. Called to do a cash-out refinance to renovate her kitchen and build an emergency fund. Team Hochberg helped Gina secure a cash-out refinance to access $70,000 of her home's equity and gave her a full closing cost credit. Thankfully, Gina's job is safe for now, and she is in the process of redesigning and renovating her kitchen while putting $20,000 into an emergency fund. If you'd like to see if Team Hochberg could restructure your mortgage to help you gain access to your home's equity to remodel and build an emergency fund like they helped Gina, or lower your monthly payments to ease the economic challenges caused by coronavirus, call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call. 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Homesite Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
Think you know the Home Depot? It's not just for flooring and lights for your bedroom. It's everything else for your bedroom. Mattresses you can't wait to sleep on. Nightstands you can't stand to be without. All with great savings, free and flexible delivery, and easy online returns. You know the Home Depot. And now you know there are even more ways to explore decor at HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. U.S. only, offer valid through August 5th. Limitations apply.
You're listening to the Dan Bernstein Show, back in 60 seconds on The Score.
Baseball's back, and it's game on with Radio.com, bringing you the best coverage of this historic 60-game MLB season. Follow your favorite clubs on the country's best sports stations. Every day, they'll break down the news with in-depth game analysis and exclusive player interviews. For a unique perspective on the MLB season and all sports, listen to Radio.com Sports Originals, like Swings and Misses. The best in sports talk is right at your fingertips. It's game on. Follow Major League Baseball on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ. But it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
As he docks strike three on the inside corner, one gone. We've heard the name Andrew Jones as a comparison to Robert. There's strike three. He busted him on a high fastball. Strike three. 2-2 for Bo Taylor. And strike three. Lucas elevates an off-speed pitch. High fastball, not his tempo, one gone. High fastball knocked him down. Six strikeouts for Lucas Giolito.
It was a must-win game for us as a team. However you want to put it, we weren't going to come out tonight and put pressure on ourselves and look at our record at the start of the year. But the way I saw it was our first round starting pitching did not go well. And so it was time for us to make the adjustments we needed and go out there and have a good one. So I was happy to be able to do that, put up zeros.
Giolito's strikeouts, and then Lucas Giolito himself, thanks to NBC Sports Chicago, and Jason Benetti threw in a little Whiplash reference for us as well, if we were paying close attention. Not his tempo. Let's talk some White Sox with Josh Nelson. He is on Twitter at SoxMachine_Josh, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How are you, Josh?
I am doing well, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm wondering, this turn through the rotation now is going to be telling, because I'm wondering when some decisions get made to maybe try some promoting the young studs and handing them the ball instead of going again with Gio Gonzalez or whoever is going to make up for the Ronaldo Lopez being out. You know, there are some young pitchers who might just want to take the ball.
Yeah, one of those young pitchers that I was hoping was going to stay healthy this year, Jimmy Lambert, is unfortunately on the 10-day IL. And I thought that the way that he was throwing early for the White Sox, that he merited to have a little bit of an extended run than just throwing one inning. But I don't blame the White Sox, because his fastball velocity did dip in his second time out for the season from 93 to 91. And they view that as a red flag, and they are saying that it's a forearm strain, and this is a pitcher coming off Tommy John surgery. But I'm glad you mentioned as far as Gio Gonzalez. My concern with Gio Gonzalez is I just don't know if physically he can hold up and pitch five innings. And if he can't, then Rick Renteria and Don Cooper need to sit down and come up with some type of bullpen by committee strategy when it's time for Gio Gonzalez to get the ball. And you're hoping that Gonzalez can go three innings, four innings, and keep the team in the game and not get blown up. He didn't look great against the Minnesota Twins, but again, not many White Sox pitchers outside of Dallas Keuchel look good against the Twins. But it'll be interesting to see how he does against the Kansas City Royals. And if Gonzalez can't because of physical limitations, Dan, I keep an eye on Dane Dunning. And I know that he hasn't got a chance to pitch in AAA, but all of a sudden the White Sox starting pitching depth with Ronaldo Lopez in the IL, with, you know, his shoulder inflammation, and Jimmy Lambert is on the IL. The White Sox starting pitching depth is starting to go away. And next in line would be Dane Dunning. It'd be interesting to see what he can do on the mound for the White Sox.
Yeah, that was the name that I was going to get to, and you beat me to it. That the way we're defining some of these things as crisis or in case of emergency break glass, that you would hate to have figured something out too late. And right. you can only experiment with it when you get the opportunities. And the fact is, the bullpen's been pretty good. That, you know, Aaron Bummer looks terrific. Ross Detweiler is getting people out. I mean, you do have a situation where it's not like the bullpen isn't trustworthy at this point.
Yeah, and another name to throw out there is Evan Marshall. Evan Marshall's been very good as well for the White Sox. And that helps, especially in the seventh and eighth inning when Renteria can go to Marshall and Bummer, and then we'll figure out what version of Alex Colome we're going to get in the ninth inning. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned as far as Ross Detweiler. What a turnaround from last year. I mean, 3 2/3 scoreless innings, no hits, no walks, and he's got 5 strikeouts. I mean, he looks completely different than the Ross Detweiler we saw last year. And you watch him pitch and you kind of like squint at the screen and just wonder, should they give him a chance to start? That's a terrible idea. We know how this goes. And then you watch him throw some more. It's like, well, maybe. But again, the other thing that I'm wondering about is if Major League Baseball, because we're just going on the fly here in 2020, Dan, is that they changed their mind about the roster. I think, especially what's going on with Miami, that the 30-man roster should stay for the entire 2020 season. And if it doesn't, then the White Sox have to consider getting 2 players off their roster in a couple of weeks here, as they have to trim down to 28. That's the current plan right now. Obviously, things can change. But if it's going to be 30 men for the rest of the season, then I would call up Dane Dunning and I would give him some reps now, see what he does against Major League Baseball teams. And if he gives you confidence to start games, great. You could have him start the game. And if he's shaky, then you can go to a Ross Detweiler or then a Jimmy Cordero And then you can hope that the offense scores enough runs. And then if you have a lead and if you give it to Marshall and Bummer, they can take you to the ninth, and we'll see what happens in the ninth inning with Alex Colome. That's not the worst strategy in the world for the Chicago White Sox, especially the situation they're in right now with the injuries and Michael Kopech opting out with their starting rotation.
I hate being lineup guy because it's generally a loser's battle being batting order guy or lineup guy. But this year, you know, everything's magnified. Everything matters more. You know, when even Steve Stone is on this show saying, yeah, Nicky Delmonico fourth may not be your best idea, looking for balance in there, even though he's not one of your better hitters. And it's time for Luis Robert to move up in the order and bat more often. You know, and I generally don't like doing it, but I guess I have to. Where are you on the significance of Ricky Renteria's lineup so far?
Well, come on. Nicky Delmonico doubled his OPS plus yesterday by not playing, Dan. It's at two.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm with you as well. And I don't think Rick Renteria has been optimizing his lineup. What's not helping when you look at the first when you look at the numbers after the first two series is that Yasmani Grandal and Edwin Encarnacion are off to slow starts. And those are your number four, number five hitters right now. So it looks like the White Sox have some offense generating early with Anderson and Mikata being teamed up. Abreu is hit or miss right now in the first six games. Nothing really coming from Grandal and Encarnacion. And then the offense picks up again with Jimenez and Robert. And I wonder if you flip Jimenez and Robert with Grandal and Encarnacion and put those guys at four and five and then move Grandal to six and Encarnacion to seven just for this upcoming series against Kansas City, if that gives you more runs. As you mentioned, it's a short season, but Rick Renteria has time to experiment. I think that's a more valuable experiment to have the young kids move up in the lineup and get more plate appearances at this moment because they are hitting well and they are providing offensive impact to the White Sox while the veterans are off to a slow start. I think that's a more valuable experiment than to see if Nicky Delmonico can hit second or fourth in your lineup.
The other guy that's off to a surprising start in his 12 plate appearances is Adam Engel. And I think the batting average of balls in play of 625 might be evidence there. But he's currently at a weighted on base average of 519 and a WRC plus of 242. At near the end of last year, he made a bit of a change, and I think this was a launch angle change for a guy who's always been fast and despite being big enough to have a little bit of pop. When do we start to wonder if his material change has made him incrementally just better?
Well, first of all, those numbers are totally sustainable. Adam Engel is the fourth outfielder, and this is what's been kind of puzzling with the whole Nicky Delmonico situation with the White Sox is, why is Delmonico getting these at-bats? Like, and this is something that Jim Margulis and I have been going back and forth on. Like, we don't know what Delmonico does well, but we do know what Adam Engel does well, and he plays elite defense. And if he's got an elite skill, Engel should be getting these starts over Delmonico. Now, when Eloy Jimenez lost the war again to the wall trying to make a play, obviously Delmonico would have gotten those starts. But moving forward, with Nomar Mazara still in Schaumburg, I think Adam Engel has proven so far that he should be getting those starts in right field. And even though he's batting ninth, just to see if these adjustments are sustainable, if he can continue to produce at the bottom of the lineup. I wouldn't be crazy. I wouldn't move him up in the lineup, but stick him at nine and see if you get any type of offensive production, because you know what you get defensively. Right field is taken care of, and Luis Robert can shadow more in left field and hopefully prevent Eloy from hurting himself trying to field any fly balls again. But it's encouraging. We are seeing progress from Adam Engel, but we've seen this before in the past where he's had a good week or a good 2 weeks, and then he looks really bad. So fingers crossed, these are sustainable changes for Adam Engel, but he should be getting the playing time right now instead of Nicky Delmonico.
Lastly, briefly, can we keep Eloy Jimenez from running into things, or is this just going to bedevil him throughout his career?
I told Lawrence a couple days ago, Dan, that he needs to adopt the Carlos Lee defensive philosophy of not trying in left field. Just field the fly balls that are hit directly at you, field the grounders, and hit the cutoff man. That's all you need to do right now in left field, because The range that Luis Robert has is insane. Insane. In your previous segment, something I was thinking about, because you're, you know, talking about Bo Jackson, I wonder on where Luis Robert would be drafted based on his skills performance at the draft combine in Indianapolis. If you had him lift weights, if you had him run the 40, if you had him do the cone as far as the shuffle time,
right?
Just based on those stats, where would he go? And I wonder if he'd be top 10.
In which sport?
Right now.
I mean, he could be drafted in three sports at that point.
That's true.
Josh, thank you very much for the time. Appreciate it. Great stuff.
Hey, no problem, Dan. Thank you so much.
That is Josh Nelson, Sox Machine Podcast at SoxMachine_Josh. Next up, Ryan Baker, CBS2 morning news anchor, talking about the passing of his friend Lou Henson over the weekend. That's coming up next on The Score.
Blackhawk fans, the Hawks take on the Oilers in a 5-game play-in series starting Saturday, August 1st. And The Score will be covering it all, leading right up to face-off of Game 1. Blackhawks, Oilers. Hockey is back with an epic postseason. Keep it on The Score as we follow all the action. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
The previous segment was brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers. When your basement leaks, you need help now, not months from now. Call Basement Water Stoppers today and they'll see you within 72 hours for free, for a free professional evaluation and repairs within hours. Call Basement Water Stoppers, 888-426-3074. 888-426-3074.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
The president of baseball operations for your Chicago Cubs is Theo Epstein. He joins me now.
Fans have to prepare for it to look a little bit different. The way almost everything is going to look a little bit different. And, you know, players are going to be wearing masks at all times except when they're on the field. They're going to be socially distanced. Yeah, even in the dugout, there's not going to be as much time spent indoors preparing for games. And simple things that you're used to seeing on the field that they're not going to be able to do. I think the right perspective to take on it, and it's something that we're all learning to do in almost every aspect of our life, is to maybe not compare it to what we've been used to, because that's a losing proposition and you end up seeing the negatives if you play that game and mentally. And instead, to look at it as an opportunity to sort of craft something new.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
The buckets you buy at Ace hold paint, dirt, and debris. But our Children's Miracle Network buckets hold so much more, like dreams, hope, and care for children. Because over the last 29 years, with your help, Ace has raised over $125 million for local CMN hospitals. So stop by your local Ace this weekend to make a $5 donation and get a 5-gallon bucket plus 20% off almost anything that fits inside it. Offer valid on regular price merchandise. Additional exclusions apply. See store for details.
Play.
More Dan Bernstein on the way in 60 seconds on The Score.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Bill Melton.
Herm Schneider is the one that really told me, says, Bill, Michael Jordan is going to be coming in here and put him in a position, you know, set up in the box. And then I saw him live batting practice, told MJ, I said, you understand, I'm from California, so I'm a Lakers fan. Well, that set everything off, but we had a lot of fun.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Thanks for streaming.
Streaming The Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Russ Dorsey covers baseball for MLB.com.
We talk about Sammy Sosa now. That dude was on top of the world. That was the king of the Dominican. And even he had to succumb to that pressure of, is Dark beautiful? And as we've seen over the last 15, 20 years, the answer to that was no to him. And it's just like, you have to consider what deeply rooted things and issues have been a big part of Dominican culture that Sammy grew up with.
Yeah, and that's why when you see, I think he had at some point even admitted to doing some skin lightening. He is by no means alone. And by the way, this isn't something that just happens in Caribbean countries. This is something that's happening in Asia as well, where everyone is trying to get lighter.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
13 seconds. Thompson at the top of the circle for three. A left-hander on the way. Short. Rebound tipped. It goes to the corner. Gill has it. 6 seconds. 5 seconds. Deep pass for Battle. Keeney drives the lane. Lays it up. And lays it over. Illinois wins. Illinois wins. Illinois wins. Final four. Final four. Final four. Final four. 89-86.
Remember that? The Flying Illini. That was the crowning achievement of the career of Lou Henson, if not his entire body of work standing as such. Lou Henson passed away over the weekend at 88 after a long illness, and he is well remembered by people like this. Ryan Baker of CBS2, the morning news anchor and former sportscaster and one-time team manager for the Flying Illini. He's on Twitter at Ryan Baker Media. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you been, Ryan?
Dan, how are you? I'm doing well amidst you know, all of the other turmoil in life we have to navigate, and you know, certainly when life hits you, losing a a legend like Lou Henson, you know, when you have a personal relationship, that's a tough one. But you know, certainly, you know, his legacy cemented in this state, as you know, covering basketball for a long time.
And the thing about Lou Henson, too, this isn't one of these coaching obituaries where everything has to be qualified. Well, you know, he might have been rough around the edges, or he might have been tough on people, but there's none of that with him, because that just wasn't his style. It always contrasted so starkly with Bobby Knight, and he referred to Bobby Knight as a classic bully, and he coached in a way that was so antithetical. You know, right. I mean, and it just, I just think it was so, he's really remembered as being a successful coach and not having to be some sort of militaristic tough guy tearing people down.
Well, but see, that's not true, Dan. I mean, you know, the coach was extremely tough. And but besides his evidence, it's like almost cancer and other ailments. And I mean, it was like at least 5 or 10 times we got the call, like, this is it, you know, coach is done. And he bounced back like Lazarus from the dead, and he just, you know, and he'd come back to life. But
don't hear me wrong about when I use the word tough. I know he was tough, but what I mean is he never needed the bullying tactics to get his players to perform.
Well, not in public. Not in public. What's interesting about Coach, we had a Zoom call yesterday with, in the range of stories from a manager like me, a nobody bumpkin, to a walk-on to All-Americans like Eddie Johnson, and you know, George Montgomery, you know, Derek, Steve Bardo, so on down the list. Guy said, in 4 years, I may have heard Coach Henson curse or swear once, maybe twice, never more than 3 times, but he can make you feel so small with the things he would say to you without ever using profanity that literally he had guys go into a shell. I mean, that's how much respect he commanded. So you're right. Publicly, he wouldn't belittle his players, but he knew how to motivate them and get the most out of them and challenge them. And it was his way or the highway. He was definitely old school. The one thing Coach didn't do that really wouldn't work in today's world of basketball is, in terms of communication, he wasn't a relationship builder on a personal level. It was basketball. He cared about his players, and he developed that after they got done playing for him. But it was about business. It was about being as focused as you could on the task at hand. And he would break you down and build you up. And he did that with so many great players that came through Champaign.
different kind of player, too. I mean, you're talking about a completely different generation of player that had different expectations than modern players do as far as their feelings go.
Well, Coach didn't really care about your feelings. It was about, you know, this is what we have to do. We're now in this new age of AAU recruiting and one and done, and, you know, the money is so ridiculous, and the parents and the hammers are involved. I mean, Coach would have none of that. And Marcus Liberty was on that call. Marcus was the number one player in the nation, as you well know. He was, I mean, of course, it was Prop 48. That hurt him significantly, but he came in his second, well, first year of eligibility. He expected to be the man, he said, and Coach sat him on the bench. And this is Marcus Liberty. I mean, at one point in this city, I mean, Marcus was, like, mentioned with Michael Jordan in terms of his popularity at King, and he sat him on the bench. He said, that's how tough Coach Henson was. You had to earn it. He gave you nothing. If you didn't play defense, you didn't play. If you didn't play hard, you didn't play. You know, I mean, it was just so, and everybody had the similar stories of Coach Henson, and he treated everybody great. For me personally, I mean, for a manager, he made me feel like I was part of the team, and did so for the last 30 plus years. I mean, he's made calls, done things behind the scenes for me and my family that I can never thank him enough for, and was always great. I mean, I, you know, drove him on recruiting trips. You know, so many different stories with Coach that, for me, it's difficult, but we knew this day was coming. 88 years, he had a great run.
You bring up Marcus Liberty and what a star he was. I remember so vividly, because my senior year of high school, Michael Jordan, he was becoming capital M, capital J, MJ at that point, but he wasn't quite yet. And he came, Michael Jordan came to Deerfield High School to use our gym to film a McDonald's All-American Game promo commercial. It was a McDonald's commercial, but promoting the game with Marcus Liberty. And it was the two of them, and I actually got to leave class because I said, hey, you know, I'm the copy editor of the yearbook. I have to be there. I got to spend the entire afternoon. I got a half an hour with Jordan. I got 20 minutes with Marcus Liberty, and I got to watch all of it happen. It's just an unforgettable day. And people were almost as excited that Marcus Liberty was there because he was such a star.
And so you can, and people like the younger viewers or listeners won't get that. That's how big Lib was. I mean, he was like, because he's a hell of a player. I mean, he was ahead of his time. And, you know, a 6'8 guy, and he talks about, you know, with Coach Marcus wanted to play on the perimeter. I mean, he really was a modern-day, you know, 6'8 point guard, two guard. Well, Coach said, no, you're going on the block. And he was kind of old school in that mentality of, this is how basketball is played. It's outside in. It's not inside out. So, yeah, that's, you know, it's a funny story from that with Marcus and MJ. Marcus said he regrets to this day that Jordan gave him his number, said, hey, you're a heck of a player, call me. And he said he never called him. He said, because I thought I was the man. Wow. He never called. Michael Jordan said, here's my number, call me if you need anything. And he said, I don't know if I was dumb, arrogant, full of myself. I just felt like I was the man. I don't need any help. Well, he said, that's one of my biggest regrets. I should have called him. I might have stayed in the league a little longer. Who knows?
Yeah, my memory from that day, too, is it was before Michael Jordan was so wedded to Gatorade that his drink of choice in between takes, they had this huge ice bucket with it's now called Brisk. It was then just called Lipton iced tea. And it was like Lipton sweet lemon iced tea. And that was all he was drinking the entire time. And now it's like for him to be seen with something other than Gatorade would be an international incident. But he was still the Southern guy, with his sweet tea.
Right. It'd be like he's drinking hemlock or something like that.
Right. That's unheard of. And then I ran across a lot of those guys, you know, because when I started working years later in the Continental Basketball Association, you know, there's Stephen Bardo.
The Falls, right?
You know, Bardo was the point guard for the Wichita Falls Texans. Kenny Battle was on the Lacrosse Catbirds. And then you had Marcus Liberty for a time was with the Rapid City Thrillers. So here's all these guys still playing, you know, still playing, still good, still effective, but all connected through a really special basketball team. And you think, you know, most other years, if you look at who else was in that Final Four, that was that great Seton Hall team with Andrew Gaze. Yep. It was, you know, Ferry's Duke team and the Michigan team that ended up knocking them out. That maybe any other year, that's a national champion.
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, you know, as you know, that year,
we destroyed Michigan twice. I mean, beat them by double digits. And we had just played them less than a month earlier at their place, and Kendall had come back from his broken foot. And, I mean, it was no contest. I mean, it was just, you know, ran them off floor. But, you know, I to this day, I credit Bill Frieder for that Michigan National Championship. But for him, with a ridiculously, you know, backroom deal to go to Arizona State, and Bo Schembechler says, I want a Michigan man coach in Michigan. And, you know, Steve Fisher takes over and he becomes a Hall of Famer in six games. You know, and of course, Glenn Rice had a little something to do with it, who was absolutely phenomenal. Think about the starting lineups in that semifinal game in Seattle. 8 of the 10 players that started that game were first-round draft picks. Damn. And the other 2 were second-round picks. the draft was only 2 rounds then. Wow. Well, I think it had just gone to 2 rounds.
But the talent
on that floor, you're talking about Glenn Rice, Terry Mills, Ramil Robinson. I think he was a top-5 pick. Kim McGill was number 5 pick. Kenny Battle was a first-round pick. I mean, Marcus Levy was in the second. Well, he didn't start, but Nick Anderson was the first pick of the Orlando Magic. I mean, ridiculous. I mean, all these guys were juniors or seniors. So that will never happen like that again, I don't think, talent sticking around.
Wasn't Sean Higgins also I think he was on there?
Yeah.
And Loy Vaught, Marcus too, Lillian, right?
Who was the first-round pick? Mike Griffin, I think, played in the NBA. Might have had a cup of coffee, but he was one of the other starters. But Sean Higgins hit the game winner for Michigan. You know, people say Nick didn't box out. I think that was just 6'9 against 6'5. And he gets the long rebound off the wing 3 from Terry Mills, put back, ball game. Not that I remember anything from that game or anything like that.
Right, right. Not that you're embittered at all. But
for years.
Well, let me ask you this as we let you go. When Lou Henson is remembered as a coach, tactically, or like what he did or what he allowed players to do or what he embraced, what's top of mind for you?
Well, I mean, the word toughness is thrown around, but I think that all of his teams, once he started getting the talent coming in, when the Ephraim winners kind of started the Chicago public school pipeline, but even probably Eddie Johnson before that, is all of his teams competed. I mean, you knew when you played Illinois, you were going to compete at a high level. Bruce Douglas, who was a McDonald's All-America, was on that call, was a great player out of Quincy. You know, just the teams competed at a high level. It was defensive teams. They battled. And I think, to coach's credit, he was flexible enough to let the Flying Illini be just that. I mean, coach was old school. You know, no one-handed passes. Kenny Battle changed that. In terms of the one-handed alley-oop dunks will do, I mean, everything was fundamentally sound. And I think maybe that's just the competition and fundamentally sound way that his teams played. And coach was consistent. I mean, you know, his body of work speaks for that. You know, he had some bumps here and there, but when it was all, he took 2 different teams to the Final Four. Didn't get that crown jewel, but he was right there. And, you know, he had an incredible impact on my life. I'm just grateful that I was glad to go along for the ride, and he hired me as a student manager in 1986, 87, and the rest is history.
Ryan Baker, thanks for taking the time to join us, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Be well, man.
You too. Ryan Baker, CBS2 morning news anchor, among our guests today. That list also included Josh Nelson and Cody Decker, Joe Cowley, and Ian Happ. Lawrence Holmes is standing by. He will take you further into the afternoon, up to McNeil and Parkins. I'll be back here tomorrow at 9, and it's already Friday. We'll have another full show planned for you. The numbers are creeping up in Illinois. Don't make the governor mad. Don't make the mayor mad. So wear your mask and wear it over your nose. Because if you're not wearing a mask. So make sure you do that. And wash your hands and try to stay away from people and listen to doctors and only listen to people who listen to doctors. Tomorrow we're going to talk to Chris Haynes and we're going to talk baseball with Joe Sheehan and Midday Midway and a whole bunch more stuff. So back tomorrow at 9. Have a great day.
Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly 3 decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station.
Hey, it's Jay Zawoski. More leagues are coming back every day, every week. We got the NBA starting. We got hockey starting. Baseball's well underway. And I'm really thrilled to be watching real live sports again. And now I've been betting all the action on the FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook for a reason. They have more ways to win. If you can dream it, you can probably bet it through FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel offers spreads, parlays, money lines, overs-unders, props, and my new favorite, in-game bets, all in a very easy-to-use and intuitive app. And unlike other sportsbooks, FanDuel accepts most major payment options, and you can combine your sportsbook account with your FanDuel Fantasy account and use your winnings across both platforms. That's a really cool feature. Check out the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, more ways to win. Must be 21 plus. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT or 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you.